For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We're back.
Way back, 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 way back, way back.
Oh my goodness.
Back, 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 back.
With more Hit and Run, Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score.
Swing and a miss. That change again. It's his bread and butter pitch. It's been his bread and butter pitch since he was at Kansas State. Runner goes from second to third and a cold third strike. Rodriguez out looking. Reynolds steals third. Swing and a miss. And that will end the first inning. Swing and a miss. Guess what? The change. Four straight strikeouts for Jordan Wicks. Swing and a miss. Another curveball this time.
Wait, you know, you can't attack guys.
3-2. The sinker called strike three. That is seven strikeouts for Jordan Wicks. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Eighth strikeout for Jordan Wicks. And a called strike three. Fastball right down the heart of the plate.
Man, that's a good example of what Tom Verducci was talking about later, as those are the nine strikeouts for Jordan Wicks coming off his debut appearance last night in the major leagues. What Tom Verducci was talking about, I mean, we're going to play it again at some point because it's got my head spinning, but was that the changeup is so good that guys will sit on that changeup, and Jordan Wicks showed the ability to throw the fastball for strikes, either the sinker or, I mean, he's got six pitches, but to throw the fastball for strikes and freeze guys for strike three. On a night when he threw 27 changeups, had nine swings and misses on the changeup alone. Woo! Jordan Wicks said, I think in my dreams I imagined that, but I thought it was unbelievable. He starts out by giving up a home run to Ke'Bryan Hayes on the second pitch of the night, then gives up a rocket single up the middle, then walks a guy, then is behind Connor Joe, 2-0, and then all of a sudden, Tommy Hotovy makes the greatest mound visit in the history of mound visits, and the Cubs get a starter to retire 15 batters in a row. Five innings. Could he have gone another inning? Possibly. In all of his AAA starts, he's gone five. He's a young guy trying to protect a little. I think in his last one, he only went 4 2/3, but he struck out a lot of people. But anyway, he's gone five in his starts, and they had an 8-1 lead. 8-1 lead. It should not have gotten as close as it got. And that is because of, in part, Hayden Wesneski. We'll talk about all of that. Phone lines are open for you. 312-644-6767. Boy, that was an incredible conversation with Ryan McGuffey. If you missed it and you're hungered for White Sox, you can hit rewind on the Odyssey app feature, or you can find it on the podcast later. Sean Sears, our producer, will, of course, post the podcast. But let's focus on the good, which is Jordan Wicks' debut. Here's David Ross from last night saying that it was a really fun night for him and for Jordan Wicks once he settled in.
Yeah, I think all the credit should go to the mound visit from Tommy Hotovy. Man, what a fun night for him once he settled in. Home run, rocket up the middle and then felt like the game was over, right? But he just pounded the zone, found his rhythm. I loved how he mixed the like, he can just pitch. It just stands out. The changeup's obviously electric, but I thought the cutter was really good. I thought the breaking ball, he mixed in well. I thought he kept guys guessing and pounded the heater with the lead. Like, that, those are little things that you don't see in our game as much. Just guys being able to come in, I get a big lead, and I'm going to pound the strike zone, be able to mix in my secondary, just cruise from there on out. Really impressive performance from a young man. That was as good as I've seen in a while from a young starter.
Boy, I love the way he breaks that down, because they had a big lead and he knows how to pitch, and he's got a six pitch mix. Reminds you a little of Javier Assad. Now that Assad has the velocity, maybe the ceiling's a little higher. When Jordan Wicks was drafted in the first round out of Kansas State in 2021, he was seen as a fast riser because of the six pitch mix and because he seemed to be able to control everything. What he doesn't have is velocity at 96, 97, 98. So a lot of teams won't even look at a guy in the first round like that. If the Cubs found a guy here who helps them right now down the stretch, and maybe is a lefty that you're totally comfortable starting the year with in your rotation because he knows how to pitch and he controls stuff and that changeup is that good, that is a hell of a scouting find in the first round. That's a hell of a first round pick. If they have found somebody. Now, and maybe he's never going to be an ace, you know? But if that's a dude who's like just solid, dependable three, something like that, whew, that's a real good find. So David Ross was also asked about, and this will tie into Wesneski here. David Ross was also asked about the in-game management as an organization that they could perhaps grow in.
Yeah, I think it can just be a little bit more on the attack, right? You also feel like you can work on some things sometimes in an 8-1 game, and it can come back to bite you instead of just going in and getting your outs. And where he's working on that, he's in a, you know, kind of a different role and trying to be in a space where he can work on some things, but also, like, you got to be able to shut the door. I thought same with Danny there at the end, like, you know, we've got to be on the attack. You throw 100, fill up the zone. I think that's where we can improve, to be honest with you, as a young group, and something we got to continue to grow on in our organization is game management and you know, how to pitch in certain scores and stuff like that. But again, nice outing by Jordan, and a really nice job by the offense to just continue to add on. To say a double obviously helped and added on, gave us a little bit of breathing room. Instead of bringing Abbott, but it's only for an out.
So you know, it's interesting. Pitching with a certain score, the mindset when you're going out there, you got an 8-1 lead. Hayden, attack, attack, attack. Just get weak contact, man. You don't have to show all your strikeout stuff. You don't have to show them how big your junk is. Pardon that analogy got away from me on a Sunday morning.
It's a wild sweeper there, huh?
I mean, some people, I guess. I don't know. I'm not judging. You know,
I mean, we've been to the troughs. We've seen it before, right?
I don't look, man. I'm busy. I'm busy at the troughs.
Yeah, I try to get in and out. I'm not trying to hang out.
Did I ever tell you about one time? It was before the renovations. I was at the troughs in Wrigley, and there was like 10 of us lined up at the troughs. You know, unleashing the liquid that we had put into our own body via various refreshments. And we're all in there doing it, and you just hear that sound that starts and stops, you know, and you're hearing like everybody's pace and everything. And then all of a sudden we hear, and we all looked up like, oh my God, who's that guy? And it was a utility sink at the end of the troughs, and it was a maintenance person filling a mop bucket at the utility sink. But we all instantly had the reaction of, who the hell is that?
Someone have a fire hose?
That's what I always think about when I'm at the trough.
It's a very uniquely Wrigley thing.
It's a very unique Wrigley story. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. Hello, Ben.
Well, I'm glad there wasn't any shrinkage happening.
None.
At that moment.
Zero.
Okay.
Zero. And it was just a utility sink, man. When in doubt, just know that might be a possibility.
Yes. Listen, I'll get to Jordan Wicks in just a second. But first, I wanted to thank you so much for the Lee Smith interview last week. It was really beautiful. And I just wanted to tell you, man, the Negro Leagues Museum and the Jazz Museum is something that everybody should go to and check it out. You know, I'm a baseball whack-a-ma-doodle and practicing jazz musician and musician. I think it's something that's so cool that it should be replicated. There should be one in Chicago telling the Chicago story. There should be one in New York telling the New York story, and maybe on the Mall in Washington. But anyway, great. I loved Lee Smith as a kid. Anyway, my Cubs thought speaks. Okay, listen, we are now fully into the post-CEO era. If you remember, there was the shakeup before he left, and they put Dan Cantervince in charge of the draft. And I'm reading from the July 12th, 2021 article that Jordan Bastian wrote that Cantervant said about Wicks: to get who we thought was the best college left-hander with the 21st pick, we didn't anticipate that happening. When it did, we weren't going to pass him up. And this is why I've been so optimistic, Speaks, because I can see from a long way away just the philosophical fundamentals that the front office has. And if you're going to be watching this coming from the Cubs, irrespective of what happens with Ben Brown this year, he's going to be coming down the line. Kate Horton's going to be coming down the line. People are all hot to trot about Jackson Ferris. And I'm telling you, Caleb Killian is going to be getting meaningful outs. Now, the next great Cubs team is coming together before our very eyes. You look out at shortstop. You look out at second base. You look at Miguel Amayo. They finally got a catcher after 4 years, three, 4 years of what are we going to do? So I'm really high on this. I think last night was a watershed moment. Go Cubs. Let's win on a Sunday. Love you. And no more hit and run is absolute freaking crime. The Bears are going to go 4-13, and I don't know why we're going to lose hit and run for this draft.
They're not going to go 4-13. How dare you, Ben? How dare you? But I appreciate the support in all of its forms. Great stuff there. Yeah. Pitching scouting and pitching development. If they have figured some of that out, that's everything. It really is. I mean, it's such a big deal to be able to deliver a Justin Steele. Look at the cost of Justin Steele in your rotation. The potential cost of Jordan Wicks in your rotation. The potential cost of Cade Horton at some point and Ben Brown as young righties with high-end ace-caliber stuff. Because those are your swing-and-miss righties
Right. That's what you're missing. And those guys keep you from having to spend money on a Jameson Taillon or a Marcus Stroman, who are good.
Yeah.
But you can go after the top talent while you fill the back end of your rotation.
Well, yeah, guys. You can use that stuff on whatever you need in terms of position players. And let me tell you, the Cody Bellinger price, woo! Some indications on that I want to get to after the break that have been brought up this morning in USA Today. Bob Nightingale had White Sox stuff, but he also had Cubs stuff. It's my alarm going off. Sorry about that.
Make sure you wake up, okay?
No, I got to extend the parking. Got to extend my parking.
That's smart.
Yeah, well, you know, our lot was closed. The Prudential lot is closed because there's a race. There's people out there doing a triathlon in Chicago this Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're running down Columbus.
And listening to Hit and Run, probably.
Well, one would hope. I think we're tremendous triathlon accompaniment. That's one thing I've been trying to do all year.
You've been saying it.
I've been really thinking about it a lot. Like, how best can we achieve triathlon accompaniment excellence on Sunday morning, August 27th. It's been a goal every step of the way. David Ross talked about lineup construction. We're going to get to that before we get out of here on Hit and Run. We'll talk to Lance Brusdowski from Marquee. We'll talk to Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. But we do have time for your calls, continuing next on Hit and Run on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Hit in the air, deep left center field. Reynolds going back, dives. It gets past him and rolls all the way to the wall. Around third and coming home is Bellinger. Racing to third, Suzuki. Pop-up slide, safe. RBI triple for Seiya Suzuki. Cubs now up 7-1, and Suzuki has a 9-game hitting streak.
That is Zach Zaman on the call on 670 The Score. The OPS for Seiya Suzuki in his last 15 games played is 1.132. That dude is on fire, hitting 375 in that stand with four homers, four doubles, and two triples, including that one. That's in 15 games. The slug is there. The talent as a hitter has been obvious, and everyone has known it. The exit velocity, when he hits it hard and flush and very solid. He has responded to the benching in incredible fashion, and it's been really cool to watch. He is much more aggressive now since he has come back after they acquired Candelario and Seiya learned he wasn't going to be playing every day against righties. Now he's a guy that needs to play every day against righties or lefties because he is swinging at fastballs and early in the count. And he's also guessing at off speed early in the count. He's not trying to work the count, get the respect of the umpires, and see a ton of pitches. He's just trying to go up there and rake. And that's what he's done. He's only walked three times in those 15 games. That's fine. You want to slug 732 in 60 plate appearances? Then you can walk three times. That's okay. That's fine. And the strikeouts, only seven strikeouts. He's not having enough at-bats that go three pitches to strike out often. He's just going out there and smacking the ball around. And it does a lot. Tom Verducci last night on TV said, I think he is the key to their lineup. He deepens their lineup. Because you know what Bellinger is. But when you've got Seiya behind Bellinger and Jamer then, but really Seiya as a slug that you got to fear, that's a very, very good and healthy thing.
Pounding the fastball again, man.
Yes, he is. But also off speed last night. I think the triple was on a hanging breaking ball.
Yep.
So he's locked and loaded. 670 The Score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. Our last full show of the year, unfortunately, on a Sunday morning. Next week, we'll have a 90-minute show before the early Cubs start. That's a Peacock game. Then after that, the Bears, the Big Bad Bears, come and take over your Sunday mornings. There may be some hit and runs. We might find some spots on a Saturday or a post game, maybe, of a big series. I mean, I haven't lobbied the boss directly, but it's the second time I'm doing it on the air. To end the year against Atlanta and Milwaukee, hey, man. If the Cubs are relevant, let's do some late-night post, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Let's get those phones going.
Right? Get those phones going. Sean Sears is in, I think.
I'm definitely in.
Okay, good.
Anything Cubs, I'm in.
All right, cool. Mike on the north side on 670 The Score is on Hit and Run. What's up, Mike? Good morning.
Hey, first off, shout out to Len Casper. Congratulations. You're 20 years closer to broadcasting that World Series now.
Hold on. Ouch. Why the shot for Len Casper?
Because it's from a business standpoint. You leave one of the best, most sought-after broadcasting jobs in sports to do radio for the White Sox. Plus, he had a gig on Fox. All gone for a listenership that is probably one of the lower in all of baseball.
Hey, Mike. Let me respond to you, okay? I know for a fact that man is very, very happy doing what he's doing, regardless of what you or anybody else thinks. He loves doing baseball on the radio and has wanted to his entire life. And he hopes that eventually, yes, the White Sox will make it to a World Series and he'll get to call the postseason. But your vindictive joy at his perceived unhappiness hopefully is weakened by the fact that man is happy, okay? He's also a good dude and a friend of mine. So if you have another thought, you're welcome to it, but you don't just talk that mess on my show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, but Keegan Thompson, do they feel he's ready right now to step in?
As what?
At least a seventh inning guy.
No, thank you. He's not a high leverage reliever. He is a long-form reliever. That is what he's been best at in the big leagues, is a bulk reliever. Frankly, think Michael Rucker with better stuff on this staff right now. Go ahead and use him for that. I'm not interested in him as a short usage, high leverage reliever. He did not respond well to that. So just go ahead and use him for what he has proven that he can do. This is Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, listen, as I say on this date, every year on Hit and Run, I don't know who needs to hear it. Evidently, you know, my pleas have fallen on deaf ears as far as score management is concerned. But I'll say it again for the benefit of those who need to hear it. September is a baseball month.
Yeah.
More so, even more so than football. That's not a point of view, and it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So, you know, I just thought I'd throw that out there again, you know, in case anyone in score management is listening.
Yeah.
I don't expect that, you know, it'll go anywhere. But it just needs to be said.
Yeah.
So now moving on to the game on the field, Speaks.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm thoroughly disgusted with the White Sox. I'm not going to waste any time on the subject of, you know, we've done that all season long. I just want to say, as a baseball fan and as someone who follows everything and everyone in the sport, I'm looking forward to September and the postseason. And although I am not a Cub fan, because I respect what they did at the break, embracing the challenge and, you know, going for it, they realized, you know, now they were actually the beneficiary of some good fortune. The Cardinals, the Padres, and the Mets are all having down disappointing years. So, you know, that put them in it. But they are, you know, performing very well. Right? They're rising to the challenge. I hope they get in. And I think they will get in as well. I mean, I think the Phillies are, you know, pretty much a lock. I think the Phillies are the third best team in the National League. But I think of the remaining teams, you know, that are – of course, Cubs are in the division race too. But they've got a very good shot, and I hope they get in, and I think that they will do very well. I do think at the end of the day in the National League, the Braves and the Dodgers are on a collision course, and I think it's going to be, you know, one of those two teams. But I respect what the Cubs did at the break, and I'm looking forward to watching them, and I hope they get in. And I think that they would be a deserving and worthy challenger, you know, if they do get in. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. And
that is beautiful analysis and respect for your second favorite team in town as they have made a pivot and they're pushing. And I guarantee you that from my perspective, if it was the White Sox and not the Cubs that were playing like this and pushing and playing well, I'd be covering the hell out of that and enjoying that. And I think there are some Cub fans who would have pivoted like you just did in conversation. So thank you.
All right. That's really all I wanted to say.
All right, man. Thank you, Stan. Appreciate you. 670 The Score is where you are. Where's the call screener? He stepped away. He already had his yogurt. He said he was going to get something to eat upstairs. He doesn't need anything else to eat. Our assistant call screener, his work ethic needs some attention. Seriously. I hope he's listening. He's not. He's upstairs lollygagging around. You lollygag your way around the studio. You lollygag your way around the office. You know what that makes you? Lollygaggers, sir? Lollygaggers. There he is. Hey, grab a mic. Does he have headphones? Some headphones. We've got three calls that are unscreened. I would take another call.
He's jumping on the screening right now.
I would take another call right now. But we don't know if those calls are good. Because the assistant producer has been wandering around the studio. My goodness. All right, while he screens a call, I'll share this with you. From Bob Nightingale's column in USA Today, this morning. Stuff about Cody Bellinger's incredible rebound season and what it means for his free agent market. And he was courted by three different teams because here are the quotes from Scott Boras in the Bellinger comment. And Boras is traveling abroad in Europe, I assume perhaps lounging on an island that he owns. And did answer the call from Bob Nightingale. Quote, when Cody became a free agent, he told me, I want to go to teams that know me the best, and I want to go where people understand me. And that's what has happened here with the Cubs, is that there's an assistant hitting coach that used to be an assistant hitting coach with Cody in L.A., and they have clicked, and that's not the only reason, but that is a big reason that Cody has found what he has found, and we've dissected that a lot. And I think that that happiness and that that quality circumstance that lends to Cody Bellinger's success will have an effect on his decision-making as a free agent. I think it will. How much of a decision? I don't know. Does he think he's figured it out now and he can do this anywhere without this person? Is this person going to get hired away? And, you know, should the Cubs be aggressively trying to promote that person, make him happy, so he and Bellinger will stay as a package deal? Here's more from Boras in the Bob Nightingale column. Boras isn't tipping his hand at the price tag, but he does point out that it's a thin free agent market. And oh, by the way, Mookie Betts was 27 years old when he received his 12-year, $365 million contract extension 3 years ago with the Dodgers. That's the data point. That's the data point. Because here's what Boras says. Demand is often created by rarity. When you have the rarity of Cody's age, his skill level, a five-tool player, a gold glove center fielder, and first baseman who can run, throw, hit, and hit for power, that's a rare commodity in baseball. And the demand for that is very, very high. He is absolutely correct about that. Bellinger says, I love it here. It's great here. Wrigley Field is such an amazing place. We'll see what happens. But for now, we're in a playoff race. I'm just trying to go out every day and help this team win. Woo! Now, consider me concerned that Bellinger's asking price is going to be a lot higher and Boras's push is going to be a lot stronger for Cody to go and take all that money. What you hope for is the desire of the player to be happy and content. And you hope for the maturity of the player to know that that is worth a certain amount of money. And that at a certain point, $50 million, $100 million, is there a cap in terms of when it all starts to feel the same and you should choose happiness and comfort? Owen is in Willowbrook and has been successfully screened by the call screener. Excellent. Hello, Owen.
Hi, Matt. Hey, I heard you talk about how the Sox maybe should look at scouting and personnel with Tampa Bay. I think the other organization that they really have to look at as far as maybe trying to get people for their organization are Houston Astros. If you see what the Astros lost in Correa, Springer, I forget their first baseman, and then they changed on the fly and they just keep competing and competing.
Yep.
And you know, that's what you need. You don't need guys like Kenny Williams has been there for 20-some years. It's just decimated this team. And I actually think you need – you hit it on the head. You need scouting. You need guys that know talent, guys that aren't going to draft Homer in the first round and draft Collins in the first round.
Hmm.
You know, you can't replace stars that leave with players like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Owen. Yeah, I think you meant Madrigal. They draft Madrigal in the first round and Zach Collins in the first round. And there were some stories. Oh, man, there's so much to get to. If anybody didn't see the Keith Law piece in The Athletic, just breaking down what the White Sox scouting and development troubles have been under Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, it is staggering. Just the math of it in terms of which players have made it to the bigs and which ones have not. And there's a couple little stories in there. One about Keenan Walker. Keenan Walker is the kind of toolsy outfielder Kenny Williams used to fall in love with a lot. Jarrett Mitchell, Keenan Walker, God, Courtney Hawkins. There's a lot. These are like toolsy, five-tool possible outfielders who were not good baseball players.
And
That's what Kenny used to fall in love with. And it hurt them a lot through the years. So, all right, it's 670 The Score. Great stuff from the callers. And coming up at the top of the hour, Lance Brozdowski from Marquee will join us. We'll be live on Marquee. Tell a friend, or if you're listening and you're near a TV, you want to watch the show, you can do it either on Marquee or on the Marquee streaming app as well. That'll be at 11 o'clock. Next, though, our guy Chris Kampka gets his camp connected on Hit and Run on The Score. The stereo MCs on a Sunday morning means our guy Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning. I am pretty good. How about you?
I'm good, man. It's been a crazy week of White Sox news. The games, though, completely roll on. And you are working on the games and love the games. And so we have Sox games and Cubs games to look at and dissect and think about through your unique lens, sir. Take us anywhere you want.
All right. So let's start with the White Sox. So over the last five games, Andrew Benintendi has hit three home runs. And they're all against lefties, which is crazy.
Oh,
consider
wow.
this.
Yeah.
Consider this, on April 6, 2021, Zach Collins, lefty, hit a home run off of lefty Nick Markovicius. After that, the White Sox win the span of 443 games where they did not have a lefty-on-lefty homer. And then enter Andrew Benintendi, who hits three in a five-day span. That's crazy because Benintendi entered that span with only two home runs on the season. And so it's the first three White Sox lefty-on-lefty homers this season. And it was the first, it was three of the four, lefty on lefty homers at Guaranteed Rate Field all year. They're all four of them are on this homestand because Ryan Noda hit one the other day. So no lefty on lefty homers in this ballpark at all this year until this recent surge.
Wow.
You never know.
Wow. So no lefty on lefty homers by anyone on that team. Until this,
no lefty homers against lefty pitchers.
Okay,
for the White Sox entering this homestand.
Care to guess?
Benintendi is three.
Care to guess who leads Major League Baseball as a left-handed hitter with 12 home runs against a lefty? There's two of them.
Ohtani.
Freeman. Freddie Freeman and Kyle Schwarber. Ohtani has 11. It's a good guess. Ohtani has 11.
Gosh. Schwarber.
Schwarber and Freeman. So it's interesting because you need lefty sluggers in this league and lefty sluggers who can hit homers off lefties.
Well,
that's gold.
Let's talk about lefty homers in general. The White Sox have 10 lefty homers at Guaranteed Rate Field this year. 10. They've had 41 against them.
Oh, wow.
So when you're a homer, lefty homers, this is not just lefty against lefty. This is lefty total, mm-hmm. righties and lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Left-handed home runs, 41-10, the White Sox have been out homered here. And we've talked about the importance of lefty power in this ballpark for a while.
Yes.
And they just have not addressed it.
Yeah, they're dead last in baseball with 26 home runs against left-handed pitching. Dead last. That's eight behind that's batting left. So my bad. So with left-handed power, they are dead last with 26 home runs, eight behind the Marlins. The Braves have 102 homers from the left side.
Yeah, and at home, they only hit 10.
Wow.
But Benintendi's three homers as a lefty off lefties in a five-day span. The last White Sox lefty to have three homers against lefties in a five-day span was Robin Ventura in 1996.
Wow. All right, let's go to the Cubs, sir. What you got on the north side?
The Cubs put up a 10 spot yesterday. It's great. It's 19th time this year that they've done it, second only to the Rangers. However, it's the third time this year the Cubs have scored 10 runs without hitting a homer. That leads the majors. Three times the Cubs have scored 10 or more runs without hitting a home run. They didn't do it last year. They've done it three times total over the last 10 seasons total. So three times this year, Three times over the last 10 seasons combined before this year.
Wow, so that's 10 runs without hitting a home run. You know what's interesting there is that they're designed, and what they're trying to do is just, you know, move the baton or pass the baton. Like, all right, next man up, next man up. You have a good at bat. You have a good at bat. And just hit situationally and not get lost looking for slugs. So that is one indication that that mindset is working at this point.
It's good. A lot of times in the postseason, though, it's those home runs that catch up with you.
I know.
So it's kind of interesting to see if this plays later on, because historically, I don't know.
I know, but here's the thing. They've actually hit a lot of homers since the All-Star break. They have 59 home runs since the All-Star break. That is seventh in all of baseball. So, and the slug since the All-Star break is fifth in all of baseball, just their slugging percentage. So, Bellinger has come on, Seiya a little bit, and, you know, I guess Happ every once in a while. But, yeah, so I hear you. They'll need the power in the postseason, that's for sure.
No. But you're right. It has gotten better. Mm-hmm. So that's promising. But so you have the combination of days where you can slug and then the days where you can get by without it. That's a good combination.
Yep. We got time for one more thing. How about Jordan Wicks's debut last night with 9 strikeouts and 1 walk? It's amazing.
Yeah, so 9 strikeouts and a win in the Cubs, in the major league debut for the Cubs. It's since 1901. It's Jordan Wicks, the Dodgers pitching coach, and the guy who started the 1919 World Series game 1 for the Reds.
I don't know that.
Okay, so, all right, so Mark Pryor, obviously, Dodgers pitching coach.
Yeah.
And Dutch Ruther did it for the Cubs back in 1914 or 13. I don't have it on hand. But he was the guy who started game 1 of the 1919 World Series for the Reds against the Black Sox.
Wow.
Later on.
Wow.
So those are just 3 since 1901, win and 9 strikeouts, an MLB debut pitching for the Cubs.
That's pretty awesome.
Not
all right. I know you got one more. You got a Jake Berger nugget. Give it to me, Kampka. You're the best.
Yeah. So Jake Berger, since joining the Marlins, is hitting .349. He's almost as good as Luis Arraez. So he could overtake Luis Arraez for the Marlins batting average lead with a minimum of 75 at bats. He could do that. Even today, he can make that happen. Jake Berger passing Luis Arraez on the Marlins in batting average. Who'd have thunk it?
Oh, my God. Just his Marlins numbers alone, but I get you. Oh, my God. Thank you, Chris Kampka. He's the best. He's the best. Follow him on the Twitters, or the X, whatever it's called, at C Kampka. I just love the way he thinks about the game and enjoys the game. All right, this has been a fun show. We got another hour to go on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Lot of Cubs, because they're relevant and interesting going into their final game against the Pittsburgh Pirates of a 12-game stint against, quote, bad teams, unquote. We are going to be live on the Marquee Sports Network on the app or on television on your cable provider. Lance Brzdowski will join us next on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number 1.
For Trent, pick number 1.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We're back.
Way back, 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 way back, way back.
Oh my goodness.
Back, 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 back,
Hit and Run, Sunday mornings from 9 a.m. to noon on 670 The Score.
Swing and a miss. That change again. It's his bread and butter pitch. It's been his bread and butter pitch since he was at Kansas State. Runner goes from second to third and a cold third strike. Rodriguez out looking. Reynolds steals third. Swing and a miss. And that will end the first inning. Swing and a miss. Guess what? The change. Four straight strikeouts for Jordan Wicks. Swing and a miss. Another curveball this time.
Wait, you know, you can't attack guys.
3-2. The sinker called strike three. That is seven strikeouts for Jordan Wicks. 2-2. Swing and a miss. Eighth strikeout for Jordan Wicks. And a cold strike three. Fastball right down the heart of the plate.
Man. That's a good example of what Tom Verducci was talking about later, as those are the nine strikeouts for Jordan Wicks coming off his debut appearance last night in the major leagues. What Tom Verducci was talking about, I mean, we're going to play it again at some point because it's got my head spinning, but was that the changeup is so good that guys will sit on that changeup, and Jordan Wicks showed the ability to throw the fastball for strikes, either the sinker. Or, I mean, he's got six pitches, but to throw the fastball for strikes and freeze guys for strike three. On a night when he threw 27 changeups, had nine swings and misses on the changeup alone. Woo! Jordan Wicks said, I think in my dreams I imagined that, but I thought it was unbelievable. He starts out by giving up a home run to Ke'Bryan Hayes on the second pitch of the night. Then gives up a rocket single up the middle, then walks a guy, then is behind Connor Joe, 2-0, and then all of a sudden, Tommy Hotovy makes the greatest mound visit in the history of mound visits, and the Cubs get a starter to retire 15 batters in a row. Five innings. Could he have gone another inning? Possibly. In all of his AAA starts, he's gone five. He's a young guy trying to protect a little. I think in his last one, he only went 4 2/3, but he struck out a lot of people. But anyway, he's gone five in his starts, and they had an 8-1 lead. 8-1 lead. It should not have gotten as close as it got. And that is because of, in part, Hayden Wesneski. We'll talk about all of that. Phone lines are open for you, 312-644-6767. Boy, that was an incredible conversation with Ryan McGuffey. If you missed it and you're hungered for White Sox, you can hit rewind on the Odyssey app feature, or you can find it on the podcast later. Sean Sears, our producer, will, of course, post the podcast. But let's focus on the good, which is Jordan Wicks' debut. Here's David Ross from last night saying that it was a really fun night for him and for Jordan Wicks once he settled in.
Yeah, I think all the credit should go to the mound visit from Tommy Hotovy. Man, what a fun night for him once he settled in. Home run, rocket up the middle, and then felt like the game was over, right? But he just pounded the zone, found his rhythm. I loved how he mixed the like, he can just pitch. It just stands out. The changeup's obviously electric, but I thought the cutter was really good. I thought the breaking ball, he mixed in well. I thought he kept guys guessing and pounded the heater with the lead. Like, that, those are little things that you don't see in our game as much. Just guys being able to come in, I get a big lead, and I'm going to pound the strike zone, be able to mix in my secondary, just cruise from there on out. Really impressive performance from a young man. That was as good as I've seen in a while from a young starter.
Boy, I love the way he breaks that down, because they had a big lead and he knows how to pitch, and he's got a six pitch mix. Reminds you a little of Javier Assad. Now that Assad has the velocity, maybe the ceiling's a little higher. When Jordan Wicks was drafted in the first round out of Kansas State in 2021, he was seen as a fast riser because of the six pitch mix and because he seemed to be able to control everything. What he doesn't have is velocity at 96, 97, 98. So a lot of teams won't even look at a guy in the first round like that. If the Cubs found a guy here who helps them right now down the stretch, and maybe is a lefty that you're totally comfortable starting the year with in your rotation, because he knows how to pitch and he controls stuff and that changeup is that good, that is a hell of a scouting find in the first round. That's a hell of a first round pick. If they have found somebody. Now, and maybe he's never going to be an ace, you know? But if that's a dude who's like just solid, dependable three, something like that, whew, that's a real good find. So David Ross was also asked about, and this will tie into Wesneski here. David Ross was also asked about the in-game management as an organization that they could perhaps grow in.
Yeah, I think it can just be a little bit more on the attack, right? You also feel like you can work on some things sometimes in an 8-1 game, and it can come back to bite you instead of just going in and getting your outs. And where he's working on that, he's in a, you know, kind of a different role and trying to be in a space where he can work on some things, but also, like, you got to be able to shut the door. I thought same with Danny there at the end. Like, you know, we've got to be on the attack. You throw 100, fill up the zone. I think that's where we can improve, to be honest with you, as a young group, and something we got to continue to grow on in our organization is game management and you know, how to pitch in certain scores and stuff like that. But, again, nice outing by Jordan, and a really nice job by the offense to just continue to add on. To say a double obviously helped and added on, gave us a little bit of breathing room instead of bringing Abbott, but it's only for an out.
So, you know, it's interesting. Pitching with a certain score, the mindset when you're going out there, you got an 8-1 lead. Hayden, attack, attack, attack. Just get weak contact, man. You don't have to show all your strikeout stuff. You don't have to show them how big your junk is. Pardon that analogy got away from me on a Sunday morning.
It's a wild sweeper there, huh?
I mean, some people, I guess. I don't know. I'm not judging, you know?
I mean, we've been to the troughs. We've seen it before, right?
I don't look, man. I'm busy at the troughs.
Yeah. I try to get in and out. I'm not trying to hang out.
Did I ever tell you about one time? It was before the renovations. I was at the troughs in Wrigley. And there was like 10 of us lined up at the troughs, you know, unleashing the liquid that we had put into our own body via various refreshments. And we're all in there doing it. And you just hear that sound that starts and stops, you know, and you're hearing like everybody's pace and everything. And then all of a sudden we hear, and we all looked up like, oh, my God, who's that guy? And it was a utility sink at the end of the troughs, and it was a maintenance person filling a mop bucket at the utility sink. But we all instantly had the reaction of, who the hell is that?
Someone have a fire hose?
That's what I always think about when I'm at the trough.
It's a very uniquely Wrigley thing.
It's a very unique Wrigley story. Let's go to the phone lines and talk to Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. Hello, Ben.
Well, I'm glad there wasn't any shrinkage happening.
None.
At that moment.
Zero.
Okay.
Zero. And but it was just a utility sink, man. When in doubt, just know that might be a possibility.
Yes, yes. Listen, I'll get to Jordan Wicks in just a second. But first, I wanted to thank you so much for the Lee Smith interview last week. It was really beautiful, and I just wanted to tell you, man, the Negro Leagues Museum and the Jazz Museum is something that everybody should go to and check it out. You know, I'm a baseball whack-a-ma-doodle and practicing jazz musician and musician. I think it's something that's so cool that it should be replicated. There should be one in Chicago telling the Chicago story. There should be one in New York telling the New York story, and maybe on the Mall in Washington. But anyway, great. I loved Lee Smith as a kid. Anyway, my Cubs thought speaks. Okay, listen, we are now fully into the post-CEO era. If you remember, there was the shakeup before he left, and they put Dan Cantervince in charge of the draft. And I'm reading from the July 12th, 2021 article that Jordan Bastian wrote that Cantervince said about Wicks, to get who we thought was the best college left-hander with the 21st pick, we didn't anticipate that happening. When it did, we weren't going to pass him up. And this is why I've been so optimistic, Speaks, because I can see from a long way away just the philosophical fundamentals that the front office has. And if you're going to be watching this coming from the Cubs, irrespective of what happens with Ben Brown this year, he's going to be coming down the line. Cade Horton's going to be coming down the line. People are all hot to trot about Jackson Ferris. And I'm telling you, Caleb Killian is going to be getting meaningful outs. Now, the next great Cubs team is coming together before our very eyes. You look out at shortstop. You look out at second base. You look at Miguel Amayo. They finally got a catcher after 4 years, three, 4 years of what are we going to do? So I'm really high on this. I think last night was a watershed moment. Go Cubs. Let's win on a Sunday. Love you. And no more hit and run is absolute freaking crime. The Bears are going to go 4-13, and I don't know why we're going to lose hit and run for this draft.
They're not going to go 4-13. How dare you, Ben? How dare you? But I appreciate the support in all of its forms. Great stuff there. Yeah. Pitching scouting and pitching development. If they have figured some of that out, that's everything. It really is. I mean, it's such a big deal to be able to deliver a Justin Steele. Look at the cost of Justin Steele in your rotation. The potential cost of Jordan Wicks in your rotation. The potential cost of Cade Horton at some point and Ben Brown as young righties with high-end ace-caliber stuff. Because those are your swing-and-miss righties
Right. That's what you're missing. And those guys keep you from having to spend money on a Jameson Taillon or a Marcus Stroman, who are good,
yeah.
But you can go after the top talent while you fill the back end of your rotation.
Well, yeah, guys. You can use that stuff on whatever you need in terms of position players. And let me tell you, the Cody Bellinger price... Woo! Some indications on that I want to get to after the break that have been brought up this morning in USA Today. Bob Nightingale had White Sox stuff, but he also had Cubs stuff. It's my alarm going off. Sorry about that.
Make sure you wake up, okay?
No, I got to extend the parking. Got to extend my parking.
That's smart.
Yeah, well, you know, our lot was closed. The Prudential lot is closed because there's a race. There's people out there doing a triathlon in Chicago this Sunday morning.
Okay.
Yeah, and they're running down Columbus.
And listening to Hit and Run, probably.
Well, one would hope. I think we're tremendous triathlon accompaniment. That's one thing I've been trying to do all year.
You've been saying it.
I've been really thinking about it a lot. Like, how best can we achieve triathlon accompaniment excellence on Sunday morning, August 27th. It's been a goal every step of the way. David Ross talked about lineup construction. We're going to get to that before we get out of here on Hit and Run. We'll talk to Lance Brusdowski from Marquee. We'll talk to Chris Kampka from NBC Sports Chicago. But we do have time for your calls, continuing next on Hit and Run on The Score.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel, Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Hit in the air, deep left center field. Reynolds going back, dives. It gets past him and rolls all the way to the wall. Around third and coming home is Bellinger. Racing to third, Suzuki. Pop-up slide, safe. RBI triple for Seiya Suzuki. Cubs now up 7-1, and Suzuki has a 9-game hitting streak.
That is Zach Zaman on the call on 670 The Score. The OPS for Seiya Suzuki in his last 15 games played is 1.132. That dude is on fire, hitting .375 in that stand with four homers, four doubles, and two triples, including that one. That's in 15 games. The slug is there. The talent as a hitter has been obvious, and everyone has known it. The exit velocity, when he hits it, he hits it hard and flush and very solid. He has responded to the benching in incredible fashion, and it's been really cool to watch. He is much more aggressive now since he has come back after they acquired Candelario and Seiya learned he wasn't going to be playing every day against righties. Now he's a guy that needs to play every day against righties or lefties, because he is swinging at fastballs and early in the count, and he's also guessing at off-speed early in the count. He's not trying to work the count, get the respect of the umpires, and see a ton of pitches. He's just trying to go up there and rake, and that's what he's done. He's only walked three times in those 15 games. That's fine. You want to slug .732 in 60 plate appearances? Then you can walk three times. That's okay. That's fine. And the strikeouts, only 7 strikeouts. He's not having enough at-bats that go 3 pitches to strike out often. He's just going out there and smacking the ball around. And it does a lot. Tom Verducci last night on TV said, I think he is the key to their lineup. He deepens their lineup. Because you know what Bellinger is. But when you've got Seiya behind Bellinger and Jamer then, but really Seiya as a slug that you got to fear, that's a very, very good and healthy thing.
He's pounding the fastball again, man.
Yes, he is. But also off speed last night. I think the triple was on a hanging breaking ball.
Yep.
So he's locked and loaded. 670 The Score is where you are. It's Matt Spiegel on Hit and Run. Our last full show of the year, unfortunately, on a Sunday morning. Next week, we'll have a 90-minute show before the early Cubs start. That's a Peacock game. Then after that, the Bears, the Big Bad Bears, come and take over your Sunday mornings. There may be some hit and runs. We might find some spots on a Saturday or a post game, maybe, of a big series. I mean, I haven't lobbied the boss directly, but it's the second time I'm doing it on the air. To end the year against Atlanta and Milwaukee, hey, man, if the Cubs are relevant, let's do some late-night post-post, shall we?
Oh, yeah. Let's get those phones going.
Right? Get those phones going? Sean Sears is in, I think.
I'm definitely in.
Okay, good.
Anything Cubs, I'm in.
All right, cool. Mike on the north side on 670 The Score is on Hit and Run. What's up, Mike? Good morning.
Hey, first off, shout out to Len Casper. Congratulations, you're 20 years closer to broadcasting that World Series now. Hold on.
Ouch. Why the shot for Len Casper?
Because it's from a business standpoint. You leave one of the best, most sought-after broadcasting jobs in sports to do radio for the White Sox. Plus, he had a gig on Fox. All gone. For a listenership that is probably one of the lower in all of baseball.
Hey, Mike, let me respond to you, okay? I know for a fact that that man is very, very happy doing what he's doing, regardless of what you or anybody else thinks. He loves doing baseball on the radio and has wanted to his entire life. And he hopes that eventually, yes, the White Sox will make it to a World Series and he'll get to call the postseason. But your vindictive joy at his perceived unhappiness hopefully is weakened by the fact that that man is happy. Okay? He's also a good dude and a friend of mine. So if you have another thought, you're welcome to it, but you don't just talk that mess on my show. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, but Keegan Thompson, do they feel he's ready right now to step in?
As what?
At least a seventh inning guy?
No, thank you. He's not a high leverage reliever. He is a long form reliever. That is what he's been best at in the big leagues, as a bulk reliever. Frankly, think Michael Rucker with better stuff on this staff right now. Go ahead and use him for that. I'm not interested in him as a short usage, high leverage reliever. He did not respond well to that. So just go ahead and use him for what he has proven that he can do. This is Stan in Bellwood on 670 The Score. Hello, Stan.
Hey, Steve. Good morning.
Morning. How are you?
I'm fine. Hey, listen, as I say on this date, every year on Hit and Run, I don't know who needs to hear it. Evidently, you know, my pleas have fallen on deaf ears as far as score management is concerned. But I'll say it again for the benefit of those who need to hear it. September is a baseball month.
Yeah.
Even more so than football. That's not a point of view and it's not an opinion. It's a fact. So, you know, I just thought I'd throw that out there again, you know, in case anyone in score management is listening.
Yeah.
I don't expect that, you know, it'll go anywhere, but it just needs to be said.
Yeah.
So now moving on to the game on the field, Steaks.
Yes, sir.
You know, I'm thoroughly disgusted with the White Sox. I'm not going to waste anytime on the subject of, you know, we've done that all season long. I just want to say as a baseball fan and as someone who follows everything and everyone in the sport, I'm looking forward to September and the postseason. And although I am not a Cub fan, because I respect what they did at the break, embracing the challenge and, you know, going for it, they realized, you know, now they were actually the beneficiary of some good fortune. The Cardinals, the Padres, and the Mets are all having down disappointing years. So, you know, that put them in it. But they are, you know, performing very well. They're rising to the challenge. I hope they get in. And I think they will get in as well. I mean, I think the Phillies are, you know, pretty much a lock. I think the Phillies are the third best team in the National League. But I think of the remaining teams, you know, that are – of course, Cubs are in the division race too. But they've got a very good shot, and I hope they get in, and I think that they will do very well. I do think at the end of the day in the National League, the Braves and the Dodgers are on a collision course, and I think it's going to be, you know, one of those two teams. But I respect what the Cubs did at the break, and I'm looking forward to watching them, and I hope they get in. And I think that they would be a deserving and worthy challenger, you know, if they do get in. So, yeah, I just wanted to throw that out there. And
that is beautiful analysis and respect for your second favorite team in town as they have made a pivot and they're pushing. And I guarantee you that from my perspective, if it was the White Sox and not the Cubs that were playing like this and pushing and playing well, I'd be covering the hell out of that and enjoying that. And I think there are some Cub fans who would have pivoted like you just did in conversation. So thank you.
All right. That's really all I wanted to say.
All right, man. Thank you, Stan. Appreciate you. 670 the score is where you are. Where's the call screener? He stepped away. He already had his yogurt. He said he was going to get something to eat upstairs. He doesn't need anything else to eat. Our assistant call screener, his work ethic needs some attention. Seriously. I hope he's listening. He's not. He's upstairs lollygagging around. You lollygag your way around the studio. You lollygag your way around the office. You know what that makes you? Lollygaggers, sir? Lollygaggers. There he is. Hey, grab a mic. Does he have headphones? Some headphones. We've got three calls that are unscreened. I would take another call.
He's jumping on the screen right now.
I would take another call right now, but we don't know if those calls are good because the assistant producer has been wandering around the studio. My goodness. All right, while he screens a call, I'll share this with you. From Bob Nightingale's column in USA Today this morning, stuff about Cody Bellinger's incredible rebound season and what it means for his free agent market. And he was courted by three different teams because here are the quotes from Scott Boras in the Bellinger comment. And Boras is traveling abroad in Europe, I assume perhaps lounging on an island that he owns. And did answer the call from Bob Nightingale. Quote, when Cody became a free agent, he told me, I want to go to teams that know me the best, and I want to go where people understand me. And that's what has happened here with the Cubs, is that there's an assistant hitting coach that used to be an assistant hitting coach with Cody in L.A., and they have clicked, and that's not the only reason, but that is a big reason that Cody has found what he has found, and we've dissected that a lot. And I think that that happiness and that that quality circumstance that lends to Cody Bellinger's success will have an effect on his decision-making as a free agent. I think it will. How much of a decision? I don't know. Does he think he's figured it out now and he can do this anywhere without this person? Is this person going to get hired away? And, you know, should the Cubs be aggressively trying to promote that person, make him happy, so he and Bellinger will stay as a package deal? Here's more from Boris in the Bob Nightingale column. Boris isn't tipping his hand at the price tag, but he does point out that it's a thin free agent market. And oh, by the way, Mookie Betts was 27 years old when he received his 12-year, $365 million contract extension 3 years ago with the Dodgers. That's the data point. That's the data point. Because here's what Boris says. Demand is often created by rarity. When you have the rarity of Cody's age, his skill level, a five-tool player, a gold glove center fielder, and first baseman who can run, throw, hit, and hit for power, that's a rare commodity in baseball. And the demand for that is very, very high. He is absolutely correct about that. Bellinger says, I love it here. It's great here. Wrigley Field is such an amazing place. We'll see what happens. But for now, we're in a playoff race. I'm just trying to go out every day and help this team win. Woo! Now, consider me concerned that Bellinger's asking price is going to be a lot higher and Boris's push is going to be a lot stronger for Cody to go and take all that money. What you hope for is the desire of the player to be happy and content. And you hope for the maturity of the player to know that that is worth a certain amount of money. And that at a certain point, $50 million, $100 million, is there a cap in terms of when it all starts to feel the same and you should choose happiness and comfort? Owen is in Willowbrook and has been successfully screened by the call screener. Excellent. Hello, Owen.
Hi, Matt. I heard you talk about how the Sox maybe should look at scouting and personnel with Tampa Bay. I think the other organization that they really have to look at as far as maybe trying to get people for their organization are Houston Astros. If you see what the Astros lost in Correa, Springer, I forget their first baseman, and then they changed on the fly and they just keep competing and competing.
Yep.
And you know, that's what you need. You don't need guys like Kenny Williams has been there for 20-some years. It's just decimated this team. And I actually think you need – you hit it on the head. You need scouting. You need guys that know talent, guys that aren't going to draft Homer in the first round and draft Collins in the first round.
Hmm.
You know, you can't replace stars that leave with players like that.
Yeah. Thank you, Owen. Yeah, I think you meant Madrigal. They draft Madrigal in the first round and Zach Collins in the first round. And there were some stories. Oh, man, there's so much to get to. If anybody didn't see the Keith Law piece in The Athletic, just breaking down what the White Sox scouting and development troubles have been under Kenny Williams and Rick Hahn, it is staggering. Just the math of it in terms of which players have made it to the bigs and which ones have not. And there's a couple little stories in there. One about Keenan Walker. Keenan Walker is the kind of toolsy outfielder Kenny Williams used to fall in love with a lot. Jarrett Mitchell, Keenan Walker, God, Courtney Hawkins. There's a lot. These are like toolsy, five-tool possible outfielders who were not good baseball players. And that's what Kenny used to fall in love with. And it hurt them a lot through the years. So, all right, it's 670 The Score. Great stuff from the callers. And coming up at the top of the hour, Lance Brozdowski from Marquee will join us. We'll be live on Marquee. Tell a friend, or if you're listening and you're near a TV, you want to watch the show, you can do it either on Marquee or on the Marquee streaming app as well. That'll be at 11 o'clock. Next, though, our guy Chris Kampka gets his camp connected on Hit and Run on The Score. The stereo MCs on a Sunday morning means our guy Chris Kampka, the Sultan of Stat from NBC Sports Chicago, who joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, home of the world's largest sports book. Chris, good morning. How are you, sir?
Morning. I am pretty good. How about you?
I'm good, man. It's been a crazy week of White Sox news. The games, though, completely roll on. And you are working on the games and love the games. And so we have Sox games and Cubs games to look at and dissect and think about through your unique lens, sir. Take us anywhere you want.
All right. So let's start with the White Sox. So over the last five games, Andrew Benintendi has hit three home runs, and they're all against lefties. Which is crazy.
Oh, consider this. Yeah.
Consider this. On April 6, 2021, Zach Collins, lefty, hit a home run off of lefty Nick Markovicius. After that, the White Sox win the span of 443 games where they did not have a lefty-on-lefty homer. And then enter Andrew Benintendi, who hits three in a five-day span. That's crazy because Benintendi entered that span with only two home runs on the season. And so it's the first three White Sox lefty-on-lefty homers this season. And it was the first, it was three of the four lefty on lefty homers in guaranteed rate field all year. They're all four of them are on this homestand because Ryan Noda hit one the other day. So no lefty on lefty homers in this ballpark at all this year until this recent surge.
Wow.
You never know.
Wow. So no lefty on lefty homers by anyone on that team. Until this,
no lefty homers against lefty pitchers.
Okay,
for the White Sox entering this homestand.
Care to guess?
Benintendi is three.
Care to guess who leads Major League Baseball as a left-handed hitter with 12 home runs against a lefty? There's two of them.
Ohtani.
Freeman. Freddie Freeman and Kyle Schwarber. Ohtani has 11. It's a good guess. Ohtani has 11.
Schwarber.
Yeah, Schwarber and Freeman. So it's interesting because you need lefty sluggers in this league and lefty sluggers who can hit homers off lefties.
Well,
that's gold.
Let's talk about lefty homers in general. The White Sox have 10 lefty homers in guaranteed rate field this year. 10. They've had 41 against them.
Oh, wow.
So when you're a homer, lefty homers, this is not just lefty against lefty. This is lefty total, righties and lefties.
Mm-hmm.
Left-handed home runs, 41-10, the White Sox have been out homered here. And we've talked about the importance of lefty power in this ballpark for a while.
Yes.
And they just have not addressed it.
Yeah, they're dead last in baseball with 26 home runs against left-handed pitching. Dead last. That's eight behind that's batting left. So my bad. So with left-handed power, they are dead last with 26 home runs, eight behind the Marlins. The Braves have 102 homers from the left side.
Yeah, and at home, they only hit 10.
Wow.
But Benintendi's three homers as a lefty off lefties in a five-day span. The last White Sox lefty to have three homers against lefties in a five-day span was Robin Ventura in 1996.
Wow. All right, let's go to the Cubs, sir. What you got on the north side?
The Cubs put up a 10 spot yesterday. It's great. It's 19th time this year that they've done it, second only to the Rangers. However, it's the third time this year the Cubs have scored 10 runs without hitting a homer. That leads the majors. Three times the Cubs have scored 10 or more runs without hitting a home run. They didn't do it last year. They've done it three times total over the last 10 seasons total. So three times this year. Three times over the last 10 seasons combined before this year.
Wow, so that's 10 runs without hitting a home run. You know what's interesting there is that they're designed and what they're trying to do is just, you know, move the baton or pass the baton. Like, all right, next man up. You have a good at bat. Yeah, and just hit situationally and not get lost looking for slug. So that is one indication that mindset is working at this point.
It's good. A lot of times in the postseason, though, it's those home runs that catch up with you.
I know.
So it's kind of interesting to see if this plays later on, because historically, I don't know.
I know, but here's the thing. They've actually hit a lot of homers since the All-Star break. They have 59 home runs since the All-Star break. That is seventh in all of baseball. So, and the slug since the All-Star break is fifth in all of baseball, just their slugging percentage. So, Bellinger has come on, Seiya a little bit, and you know, I guess Happ every once in a while, but yeah. So I hear you. They'll need the power in the postseason, that's for sure.
No, but you're right. It has gotten better, so that's promising. But so you have the combination of days where you can slug, and then the days where you can get by without it. That's a good combination.
Yep. We got time for one more thing. How about Jordan Wicks's debut last night with 9 strikeouts and 1 walk? It's amazing.
Yeah, so 9 strikeouts and a win in the Cubs in the major league debut for the Cubs. It's since 1901. It's Jordan Wicks, the Dodgers pitching coach, and the guy who started the 1919 World Series game one for the Reds.
I don't know that.
Okay, so all right, so Mark Pryor, obviously Dodgers pitching coach,
yeah,
and Dutch Ruther did it for the Cubs back in 1914 or 13. I don't have it on hand, but he was the guy who started game one of the 1919 World Series for the Reds against the Black Sox.
Wow.
Later on.
Wow.
So those are just three since 1901, win and nine strikeouts, an MLB debut pitching for the Cubs.
That's pretty awesome. All right, I know you got one more. You got a Jake Berger nugget. Give it to me, Kampka. You're the best.
Yeah. So Jake Berger, since joining the Marlins, is hitting .349. He's almost as good as Luis Arraez. So he could overtake Luis Arraez for the Marlins' batting average lead with a minimum of 75 at-bats. He could do that. Even today, he can make that happen. Jake Berger passing Luis Arraez on the Marlins in batting average. Who'd have thunk it?
Oh, my God. Just his Marlins numbers alone, but I get you. Oh, my God. Thank you, Chris Kampka. He's the best. He's the best. Follow him on the Twitters, or the X, whatever it's called, at C. Kampka. I just love the way he thinks about the game and enjoys the game. All right, this has been a fun show. We got another hour to go on Hit and Run on 670 The Score. Lot of Cubs, because they're relevant and interesting, going into their final game against the Pittsburgh Pirates of a 12-game stint against, quote, bad teams, unquote. We are going to be live on the Marquee Sports Network on the app or on television on your cable provider. Lance Brzdowski will join us next on Hit and Run here on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts!
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.